you sang that song, whether you understood what we were singing. We can't see Jesus, so how can we look into his face? How do we turn our hearts to the Father? We're using poetry type of language, aren't we? And it helps perhaps to think in this way. When a child is hurt and it runs to mum and all the tears are flowing, all the tears are coming out of their eyes, they look up into mum's eyes as they grab and hug them and see mum's love to them. Suddenly everything else that is happening in the world is forgotten. They don't remember the trouble. They are just seeing mum. And that's what we're really singing about here. You know, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his free love to us. When we think about that, when we realise how much God has loved us through Jesus, then the troubles in our world, the troubles in our life don't seem to matter as much anymore. We sometimes call this perspective, putting things back into their proper place. And that's really what we're singing about there. We're encouraging, we're saying to one another, look to God, think about God, think about his love, his power, that he is in control. Think about his goodness, his wonderful love. And then all the troubles in your life, all the things that you wish could be better, suddenly aren't important anymore. Because God loves you and you remember that. So that's just what we were singing about. So that's not my talk for tonight, but I just thought, you know, sometimes we sing words and I'm not sure we really know what we're singing about. And you can know your English really well and still not really sing with understanding. Well, we're going to talk about Nicodemus, a man with a name that we don't perhaps hear very often. But as we talk about Nicodemus, I want us to think about this story in this way, by asking you a question. Have you ever been told something that to your ears, to the way you think, that sounds really strange? It's back to front. It's not the way you were taught how to think, how you learned how to speak. It sounds so strange that it leaves you thinking, that can't be right. It makes no sense at all. Some of you have come here from overseas. I know that. I remember hearing my mum and dad, when they came from Europe, from Holland, 62 years ago to Australia, how hard it was for mum when she went shopping. She knew very little English. How does she describe the vegetable she wanted? She couldn't see it on the shelf. She wanted to know if they sold this vegetable. Sometimes when we try to understand what is happening in another country, it is so different from what you're used to in your home country that it just doesn't make sense. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about what it's like to drive in Australia for the first time. If you've grown up in a country where you were driving on the right-hand side of the road, not on the left-hand side of the road here in Australia. And you, even before you drive a car here in Melbourne, you have to cross the road. You're walking in Melbourne. And you are so used when you are crossing the road that you look right first, not left first. That's the way we do it, isn't it? Look left, look right, look left. Okay, when we cross the street. But suddenly you step out, you think it's okay. And then suddenly there's a car. Now I got that wrong, haven't we? Look right, then look left, and we look right again. Always look right because cars are going to be on the left-hand side coming. And if you come from America, for instance, or from Europe, you actually think the other way round. You think the car's going to come this way, right near where you're standing, instead of it coming this way. And because you're looking left, you may step out thinking, there's no car there, but you forgot that in Australia, they come from the right first. And you think, this is crazy. How many times have I nearly been hit? This is why don't they do it like the rest of the world? But that's the way it is. And don't get me started about food. I was in China a few years ago, and we were sitting at a banqueting table, and there was a lot of Australians and New Zealanders and a couple of Americans at this table eating Chinese food. Not Chinese food that we're used to in our Chinese takeaway shops, real Chinese food, delicacies. And one of them was this thinly sliced pieces of meat. And it smelt nice, it looked nice. And we made the mistake of asking what it was. And we were told it was pig's ear. And just about everybody around the table went, oh no. How can you eat pig's ear? How could you? And I thought, nah, blow this. I'm here in China. I've got to try it. Everything in me says that is so wrong. That's not the part of the pig you eat. But I tried it. And you know, I was so thankful that even though it did not make sense to me, I was so thankful that everyone else at the table was not eating it. Because it meant there was more for me. I loved it. It's just like eating crispy bacon. It's beautiful. But it at first was so strange to me. And I'm sure there are many things that are strange to you in life when you came here to Australia, when you travel overseas. It's called culture shock. Here in the Bible, we read of a man by the name of Nicodemus, who one night, as he talked with Jesus, knew what that was like, as if they were talking about using two different languages. Jesus was speaking in a way, saying things that made no sense to him at all. But you need to understand that Nicodemus was a teacher. In fact, Jesus describes him here as the teacher in Israel. He is one of the chief teachers. He was honoured as a key teacher. And here he is, having heard much about Jesus, that he thought he would go and meet Jesus and find out about Jesus. He hoped that Jesus was the great teacher that the prophets, the teachers of the Old Testament times, were saying God was going to send. Sometimes he's called the Christ or the Messiah. And Nicodemus said, we saw the miracles that you did. Now, no one can do those things that you did unless God was with him. He understood that. And he was wondering whether Jesus was not only a great prophet, but whether he was the Messiah. Was he the one they had been praying for? Was he the one for years in families they had been talking about? Could this be the year? Could this be the one? One thing was clear to Nicodemus, was that Jesus was a very gifted teacher. He called him rabbi, which is like saying professor. Nicodemus was a rabbi. And he says, I know you're a rabbi too. But are you the one? That's what Nicodemus wanted to know. So he came to talk to Jesus to get an answer to that, a clear answer. And in a polite and respectful way, he talks to Jesus. He tests Jesus. He wants to find out. It's then when Nicodemus heard some strange words and heard about a strong mercy. And they're the two things I want us to think about from the Bible tonight. First of all, the strange words. And as he was struggling with these strange words, the strong mercy that Jesus spoke to him and showed him. So first of all, the strange words. Having heard what Nicodemus said to him, Jesus says something that took Nicodemus by surprise. Jesus said, unless a person is born from above, they cannot see God's kingdom. A little later he said it, that they even cannot go into God's kingdom. What's Jesus talking about here? Nicodemus was just wanting to have a chat, teacher to teacher. He was confused. He talks about how can a grown man become an unborn baby again? How can I go back inside my mother? It just doesn't make sense. It sounds crazy. I'm already born. I have grown. I can't become a baby again. In fact, I can't become such a small baby that I could fit inside my mother. And I doubt that my mother would have been happy to have me put back inside her. It hurt her to come out. It's crazy. Everything about what Jesus was saying, sort of Nicodemus says, that does not make sense. What world are you living in? It's physically impossible. But you see, Jesus wasn't talking about physically being born a second time. Jesus wasn't talking about coming back into this world a second time. Jesus was using the way that we are born into this world physically to speak about another type of birth, which he goes on to say really is a spiritual birth. That as physically we are born into this world, we need to be spiritually born into God's kingdom. We are born physically into the physical kingdom of this world. We need to be born spiritually into the spiritual kingdom of God. In other words, as physical birth marks the beginning of life, your life in relationship to your parents and to the people around you, in the same way the birth that Jesus is talking about represents the beginning of new life in our relationship with God, who causes this special birth, this second birth. Jesus was saying, you also need a spiritual birth, without which you cannot know God or live with God. Now think about this. Nicodemus, of all the people in Israel, would have been known to be a good man. He was a good person. He was deeply religious. He studied God's word. He was very serious about living a life of obedience to what God taught in that word, so much so that he taught others and showed them how they should live to honour God. In the eyes of many, he was a holy man. In the eyes of many, he was already walking with God. But Jesus says to him, you need to be born a second time. You need to be born again. The best you are is not good enough. In fact, you can't even truly understand who God is and what it is to live under his rule. Though Nicodemus, you are very educated in the Bible, you should have understood this from the Bible. This is not new talk. This is something the Bible has been teaching all along. The very fact that Nicodemus was asking the question about who Jesus really is shows that he did not really understand, that he did not truly live spiritually. And he needed this new birth. He needed God to change his heart. And what Jesus is saying here is that this is true about everyone who is born into this world. You might know the Bible back to front. You may think that Jesus is a good influence in your life, in this country and in many other countries. You may think that his teaching is very helpful for people. You may be very religious. But until God changes your heart, gives you this spiritual birth, you will not be able to see the truth about Jesus, let alone become one of his followers. You know, in all the talks this year that we've looked at with Jesus meeting other people, most of them had miracles. He made someone who couldn't walk able to walk. He made someone who the doctors couldn't stop bleeding well. He made someone who was so sad because their child had died happy again by bringing that child back to life. Most of the times when Jesus spoke with people, we see that there was a miracle. But here is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and there's no miracle here. And yet Jesus is saying there is a miracle that is needed, Nicodemus. And this miracle is a very just-for-you miracle. It's not going to be seen by other people. It's a private miracle. It's a miracle of the heart. And Jesus says everyone needs this special miracle, this special birth. Everyone here tonight needs this special miracle if we are to become part of God's kingdom instead of being God's enemies. So they're strange words, but it raises a question. How do we have this second birth? How does it happen, this spiritual birth? How can we know this? Well, that's where the strong mercy comes in. For Jesus speaks about this too. For he says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. Think about it. When you were born into this world as a baby, was that your decision? Was that something you planned? And the moment it happened, something you triggered? No. No one has caused himself or herself to be conceived in their mother and then at around 9 months later to be born into this world. It is something that is done to you. And I think that's why Jesus likes to use this language about birth, about spiritual birth. It's not something we decide. It's not something we do to ourselves. Jesus says it is something that is done to you. Jesus does not tell Nicodemus to make himself born again. He is not saying what he must do if he decides that he wants to be born again. He tells him that this is something that God does for people. That's what he means when he says from above. Or later when he says by the Spirit. He says people can't do it. It's something that is done to them by God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus even goes so far as to say, you know, it's like the wind. We can't control the wind. We can't tell it to start here. We can't tell it where it's got to go next. All we can do is see where the wind has been. We see the impact of the wind. And in the same way, we can't make someone a new spiritual creature to bring them alive, but we can see where the Holy Spirit has done that. And the way that we see that is that they believe in Jesus Christ. They turn to him. So we need to notice here that that's what Jesus does. He speaks about God's mercy, that it's a strong mercy. He speaks in verse 16 in this way. God loved the people in the world so much that he gave his one and only Son on their behalf. So as a result, everyone who believes in the Son will not die. Instead, they will live always. You see what he's saying? Nicodemus, you need spiritual life. You need for that spiritual life to be born again. Only God can do that by his Spirit. Bring you spiritually alive. You can't do it. Well, how's he going to do that? When's he going to do it? Wrong question, says Jesus. What you need to think about is say, yes, I need that. But then Jesus says, I want you to think about why God sent me into the world and what you have to do about me. And that is to believe in me. See, Jesus is showing and telling Nicodemus, God in his mercy sent Jesus into this world. And it's a strong mercy in that Jesus says that tells us that everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. We can't be saved from our sin and made friends with God without being born again. Right? That's what he's told Nicodemus. And yet now Jesus is saying those who believe in him, in Jesus, that they are saved. They are made friends with God by believing in him. This is not to say that believing and being born again are the same thing. It is saying that those who are born again will believe in Jesus. It is saying that in believing in Jesus, we will know that we have been born again. So Jesus says you need to be born again. But where you need to focus is on believing in Jesus. That's the difference. You don't have to make yourself born again. You need to think who Jesus is and what do I do with Jesus. So Jesus is not saying we are to just sort of sit back and wait for the Spirit to do something I can't do. Maybe he will do it. Maybe he won't do it. I don't know. I'll just sit back and see what happens. I can't make myself born again. Jesus, that's the wrong way to think. Yes, you can't make yourself born again, but you can think about Jesus. You can try to learn and understand what he is on about, who he is, what he is doing. And that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Find out about me, not just to so that you have a clear understanding of who I am, but so that you will believe in me. That's what you need to seek after, believing in me. Can you believe in me? Now, that's really hard for us to understand what Jesus is doing here. And I've been trying to think of another way to explain it. And I want to try and explain it this way. Here's a fisherman. He's got a boat. It's not a rowboat. It's not a boat with a motor. It's a boat with sails. And to catch fish, he needs to be out of the harbour. He needs to be out in the sea. All right? He knows that. And he says to himself, if I am to go out and catch fish today, the wind must blow. That's a true statement, isn't it? He needs to be out there, and to get out there, he needs the wind to be blowing. But if he then refuses to set his sails to catch that wind, then that's a false statement. He has to put himself where the wind will take him where to fish. He can't just say, well, there was wind, but it didn't take me out there. He must set the sails. He can't control the wind. That's true. But is he ready for the wind? That's the question. And that's the question we need to answer as well when we begin to think about Jesus. God's wind must blow. The Holy Spirit's the only one who can change us so that we will believe in Jesus. But he does that in people's lives who set their sails ready for the wind. You must come and read the Bible, in other words, and know what it tells you about Jesus. You must come and hear Christian teachers and know what they tell you from the Bible about Jesus. You must come and wrestle with the truth claims of Jesus and the call to believe in Jesus. All the while, yes, I know, you cannot believe unless the Holy Spirit works in your life. But where does the Spirit work? He works in those who begin to read the Bible, those who seek to understand what it is saying about Jesus, those who speak to Christians about Jesus, who ask themselves, could this be true? And if it is true, what am I to do with that truth? And as God is calling you through the Word, the way we respond is to turn what we read, what we hear, what we understand about Jesus, we turn all of that into prayer, asking God, talking to God, crying out, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. Help me to believe. Save me. You must believe on Jesus Christ. Whether you feel anything or not, you must believe in him and cry to him for help to do so. That's setting your sail, turning your understanding into being sure that it is right, and if it is right, that you ask God to forgive you for Jesus' sake. Believe in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, and you will be saved. And you will discover this new spiritual life that comes from above, by the Holy Spirit, from God. The way it shows itself, this holy wind, this spiritual birth, is in people's lives as they believe in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and follow him as their Lord. So guess what? You're here, so I know that you were born into this world. But have you been born into God's kingdom through faith in Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that because of sin, we are spiritually dead. But you awaken people. You resurrect them in that sense. You give them a new life on the inside, so that those who have that new life will turn from their sin and believe in Jesus. We thank you that it is your plan that as the gospel goes out, you will help people to set sails, try to catch the wind of truth, try to understand about Jesus and who he is. Not just so that they say, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. For that doesn't make a person a Christian. But to trust Jesus as the Son of God. To ask for your forgiveness because of what he has done for people like him or like her. Like all of us. And we pray, Father, that each person here will know what it is to believe. And in believing will understand that you have given them this new birth. This spiritual birth. And brought them into your kingdom. We thank you for the teaching of Jesus. Sometimes very hard to understand. And yet at the same time, so simple, so important. And we thank you for Jesus. Amen.